Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And before we get into the topic this week, Mama, what are you drinking? And do you have any What the Ale moments?
The weather has finally changed and I'm super excited for it. So I am having a Lady Grey tea, hot tea, because it's a hot tea kind of a day.
Ooh.
I know, it's very, very soothing. It feels really good because I'm so excited for the weather. It's actually raining.
It's raining.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Big news over there. It's actually a beautiful day today, but it was raining last night. So I was like watching the rain while I was like falling asleep. But it's
Yeah.
a really beautiful day today. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, and my What the Ale is probably just about election stuff. You know, it's been a lot to process the election results. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I literally think I was so stressed. I stressed myself into a full-blown coma
Yeah.
I have been sick as a dog. I don't have COVID. I have not been around sick people. No one else in my life is sick. Not even my roommates who I spent like all day Friday with when I started to feel off. But I have been sick as a dog, and I think I have like stressed myself into this like low immunity bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
So that's probably why What the Ale. It's just like shocking to me to see how many people will vote for somebody who says so many hurtful things against so many different people. And
yeah.
I'm always surprised by women that vote for him because he's so offensive to women. So yeah, I'm really disappointed by the number of women who vote for him.
See, I'm more disappointed by the men of color. Like
Me
all of
too.
them.
Well,
All of them.
Well, and for me, that part of me thinks that that just means they're not ready to vote for a woman, which makes me not as hopeful as I would like to be about how things are changing, because I am always trying to think that things are changing for the better. But I really do feel like a lot of men are just not willing to vote for a woman, and they would rather vote for somebody who is going to, you know, enact things against them rather than vote for a woman. And that makes me really sad. So.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, man. Crazy, crazy.
I'm feeling things about that, but what about you? Drinking anything or any other What the Ale moments?
Well, because I'm sick, I'm having water.
Yeah, good for you.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
very important to hydrate when you're sick.
Oh, yeah. I've really been living on water and ramen broth, so we're doing
Yeah.
I did have solid food for the first time today, though. And
That's
I've
good.
been fine. But yeah, no, I let's see. I what the ale. Outside of being sick, I oh my goodness, I apologize, big yawns. Just got off a meeting with my boss, and she decided to add a new study to the protocol, which is very fun, very exciting. Never heard of her. I have no idea what this is. You would think that if this thing has gotten IRB approval, I would have known about it. But Kate was like, oh, we're adding two new studies. I was like, I thought we were adding one. Not two? Okay.
So does that mean you'll be more busy or?
I think so. It sounds like it's a pretty short and easy study. But I have never even heard anything about this until this meeting where she's like, yeah, we're adding two new ones to the protocol. And I'm like, are we? Wonderful.
Okay.
That's great. I'm really excited to get all the emails about it. But on less like dramatic note, I might be getting handed a paper that I get to write on, which I'm pretty excited. So
Oh, that's cool.
yeah. So that's always fun.
Yeah, get published.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be wild to have a publish something under, I don't know. I always thought I'd like write a book, but I guess here we are. We're writing in medical journals.
That's a good starting place, though.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Nikita and I are going to go see a movie today that I'm excited for. So that could be my good distraction with the ale. But we're going to go see Heretic.
Heretic.
It's the one where the Mormon girls go to Hugh Grant's house, and then he like locks them in and does all kinds of bad things.
Oh yeah, I saw an ad for that. That looks crazy.
Yeah, it looks crazy. So we're gonna go see that today. So I'm excited for that as my distraction from my post-vote feelings.
Yeah, I watched Disney movies for a few days and then been watching trash TV since then. So balance.
That's good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I am planning to continue my hibernation to get this like cold out of me.
Yeah.
Because I have to go to the hospital later this week. But luckily, Monday and Tuesday, I am able to be remote. So, yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, what story you got for us today?
Well, friends, I have been really wanting to cover this for a while, and I knew the notes weren't going to take me that long, but I also knew I wanted to make sure I did good notes. So I had been holding off. But I decided to cover a pretty well-known kind of serial killer and almost like boogeyman type of character that was operating in New Orleans in the early 1900s. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Axeman killer of New Orleans.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I think, did they, was there a BuzzFeed on that one? I feel like I've seen the BuzzFeed on that. I'm not sure if I've heard any like deeper dives into it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, it was 1918, so there wasn't like DNA or a lot of
Yeah.
things. And then, like, it went on for a year and a half. I didn't realize it happened that long. But yeah, there was an axe killer running around New Orleans, starting in 1918. So I think the best way to do it is to just kind of like read out the attacks, and then we could like talk about theories at the end because this is someone who has never been caught, which
Wow, okay.
I think is fun.
Yeah.
So the first known Axeman killing, or the first one attributed to him, was on May 23rd of 1918. It was Joseph Maggio and his wife, Catherine. They were sleeping in their apartment above their grocery store, and they basically awoke in the middle of the night, and there was an intruder who bashed their heads in with an axe and then used a straight razor on their throats.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that sounds a little bit like overkill. I'm not gonna lie. Like you would think an axe would be enough.
You would think, I was actually quite surprised how many people survived the attacks. As we go down the list, you'll see. But I mean, to do both is brutal, and like, something that I'll mention later as well, but like he basically just took whatever was in people's houses. So if they had
I
an
was
ex.
just gonna ask, yeah, I felt like that was true. Like, so people were assaulted with their own tools and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was remembering that right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But something that I didn't see noted in any other crime scene that I thought was interesting was that the police, when they came to investigate, found the killer's bloody clothes, indicating that he changed before leaving the scene. Now, I don't know if that means he brought his own clothes. I don't know if that means, he stole their clothes. I don't really know, but he did leave the bloody clothes behind.
Well, in a pre-DNA world, it would make sense to clean up and change your clothes before you leave a brutal crime scene to avoid getting caught. I mean, of course, now in the world we have today, there would be DNA on that clothing that they could use to catch them.
Yeah, no, exactly. So
Yeah.
that's, choices. But they don't actually, so the for all of these killings, they didn't believe that the motive was robbery because things would be ransacked, like things would be out and about, but nothing would be taken
Huh.
from any of the crime scenes. And then near the home, there was a chalk message that read, "Mrs. Joseph Maggio will sit up tonight. Just write Mrs. Tony." And no one knows what that means, but obviously, like, Catherine Maggio was the victim and she was there. And so, was there someone named Mrs. Tony, or was there implications of other things. One thing I will say is a lot of his victims are Italians, and so people are like, is this like a racist thing? Like, because they're all Italians and immigrant people. So yeah, we don't.
Was her body found like sitting up? Because it said it, she'll sit up all night.
So no, she wasn't, she was found in bed,
Oh.
which is the other part that's interesting about that, I guess, is like,
Huh.
okay, I don't know. But yeah, super weird. And so, the New Orleans police kind of rounded up their usual suspects or people they thought might be linked up with the case, but all were released due to lack of evidence. So then moving into June of 1918, there's Louis Bessemer and his mistress. Now, I saw two names. I saw Harriet and Anna. And I feel like I've seen Hannah more, so I'm gonna say Anna, but maybe her name, it's a nickname or a middle name, I don't know. But Anna Lowe were staying at the living quarters at the back of their grocery store. And well, no one opened the store the next morning, and so their neighbors were a little like, huh, something weird's happening. And they went over and they discovered them lying in a pool of blood. So Lewis was struck with an axe above his right temple, and Harriet was struck over her left ear. However, both were badly injured, but they were still alive when they were found. And so the authorities, did the same thing. They arrested people, but had to release them due to no evidence. And then Harriet would live on for about 7 weeks. And she had some paralysis on the side, like one side of her face. And so she was going to go under surgery, to kind of repair that. But 2 days after the surgery, she died. But before she died, she told the authorities that she thought Lewis, so her partner, had actually attacked her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Does she think he was the actual X-Man, or does she think he attacked her and try to like blame it on the X-Man?
So we're not really sure either way. I think she just thought he attacked her.
Huh.
And so they, took that as they will. Like, they arrested him, charged him with murder, and he s served 9 months in prison, but then he was actually acquitted on May 1st of 1919, because there really was no actual evidence other than her, claim that he had been the Axeman. There was no way to prove it. So we're not sure, but
Gosh, that's a hard one though, because I mean, I totally get that you need evidence, but like her saying it was him, I mean, it's like she would know, you would think. I mean, I guess if she was dealing with illness because of, the injuries and everything, maybe she was confused or something. But yeah, that would be hard to like discount the person saying it was my partner, because she would know what her partner looks like.
no, totally. Like, I agree. It's kind of a weird situation there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then on August 5th, there was an attack made on Mrs. Edward Schneider, and she was 8 months pregnant. But I'm gonna say this is a badass woman, okay? Because she was attacked by the Axeman, and then 2 days after the attack, gave birth.
Oh, wow.
And both of them survived.
Oh my gosh.
So we
I
love
just can't,
that stuff.
I can't imagine anybody attacking anybody, like this, but to attack a pregnant woman, like, that just is horrible. Like, I can't imagine how somebody would like think that was a good, I mean, again, it's not a good call to kill any of these people, but like a pregnant woman, really, that seems like particularly heartless.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, like, I don't know. It's like one of those thing of like, what would like the ideal victim be? And like, no one's the ideal victim, but
Yeah,
like,
I
pregnant
know.
woman is like, not, come on, y'all. Like,
Yeah.
but so what I will say, because I kind of jumped the gun because I got excited about her being a badass and everything, was that she recalled that, she was laying in bed and she saw a dark figure stand over her and bash her face in repeatedly. And that shortly after midnight, her husband found her and took her to the hospital. And then they did actually arrest a man on suspicion of the attack, but they again couldn't find any evidence, so they just released him. And they didn't say who it was, so I don't know who this guy is.
I was gonna say, I wish there was more information about like why people are getting released, you know, whether it was the partner of the one woman or this guy. Like, I wonder what, like, if they had an alibi or if there was some other evidence that wasn't consistent with them.
Well, I do think with the guy that like actually was in jail, I mean, to me, myself and I would not have the guts to take an axe to my own head. And so we were saying, if you attacked her, that means that you self-inflicted that wound. And he was like, ma'am, who would do that?
Yeah, that's true. Nobody would do that.
Nobody. I mean, so to me, I think that's, not that that's evidence or anything, but I personally don't believe that he did attack them. But yeah. So then on August 10th, another grocer named Joseph Romano was attacked. And it was actually kind of sad. So he was like living with his nieces at the time, and they had an adjoining room, and they heard weird noises, and they went in the room, and saw that he had like a massive head injury, and saw the attacker fleeing. And so they gave a small description, which was basically he was a dark, tall, heavy set man who wore a dark suit and a slouched hat. And they
So
said this.
he's wearing a suit to attack people with an axe. That's quite a
Yeah.
look.
They said this on BuzzFeed Unsolved, but I'm just going to say it again because I thought it was accurate, is that he sounds like a Rocky and Bullwinkle villain. Like he doesn't sound like a real killer, I guess. I don't know what is a real killer anyway.
But yeah, to wear a suit, that's quite a look.
But a suit and a slouch hat,
You're
like
gonna ruin your suit covered in blood.
wild. So they were able to, call an ambulance and get Joseph to the hospital, but unfortunately the severity of his wounds caused him to die 2 days later. And so at this point, like they're like, okay, this has happened to like five people. Like, what's going on? So they were like realizing that again, like a lot of things were ransacked in the homes, but nothing was ever taken. The killer had used their own hatchets or blades. He also they found that like panels on doors would be chiseled away to gain entry. So he would like kind of perforate it and then like kick it open and then like go in the house that way. And that a lot of the victims were Italians and specifically Italian grocers. So kind of strange. Don't really know. But again, of course, like these attacks continued just like so much to cause so much fear in the community. It was kind of like a boogeyman. Like people would claim to see him around every corner in their backyard, in their closet, like everywhere. People would find axes and chisels just like laying in their backyard. There would be doors and windows that appeared to be tampered with. People would start carrying loaded shotguns, and like families would take turns keeping watch to like be ready to fight this guy off. And like, just scary. You don't even know if it'd be you, right? So then, here's another kind of interesting one. But on March 10th of 1919, after about 7 months off, really, the Cortomeglia family was attacked. Charles and Rose Cortomeglia. They were living across the river from New Orleans in Gretna, Louisiana. And they basically heard screams come, or like neighbors heard screams coming from their home in the early morning hours. So their neighbor, Orlando Giordano, like went to investigate, and Rosie basically had like woken up to see her husband struggling with this large man holding an axe. And when Charles fell to the floor, the assailant turned on her and their 2-year-old daughter. Luckily, the husband and wife did survive. Unfortunately, their daughter did not.
Oh my gosh.
But by the time the neighbor got there, and after coming to investigate, Charles was laying in a pool of blood, and Rosie was like standing in a doorway. They were rushed to the hospital, and when she gained full consciousness, she actually blamed the neighbor and his 18-year-old son for attacking them. And what I will say is, like, Orlando was like in too poor of health to have committed the crimes. Like, he just wouldn't have been able to do it. And the son actually couldn't fit through the like broken panel in the door. Like, he was too big to get through feasibly. And they're like, I mean, I guess there were ways around that, but they were like, he clearly didn't do it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's like a trauma thing though, where like, you go through this trauma and then like the first faces you see, you like associate with the trauma.
Yeah. I mean, that
Maybe
would make
she
sense.
just got confused about like, yeah, I
I
don't
mean,
know.
especially if you're being hit in the head, right? Like, you're
Yeah.
probably not cognitively all there. But yeah, super sad. And so, like I said, they were originally charged and found guilty because of her testimony. But Charles did not agree with his wife. Fun facts. And Frank was sentenced to hang, and Orlando was sentenced to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Oh
And
my
Charles
gosh.
and Rosie actually divorced after the trial. A year after the trial, she reversed her claim, saying that she had falsely accused them out of jealousy and spite. And then they were released because there was no evidence holding them if
Wow.
the confession wasn't there. So, you know.
But she had falsely, because of jealousy and spite,
That's what
falsely
she
accused them.
said. Yeah.
Huh. I wonder what that was about.
Maybe they were like rival grocers or something. I don't know. Doesn't seem worth it to me, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems very strange. To accuse somebody of attempted murder and murdering your daughter, I mean, you have to really hate somebody to falsely accuse them.
You would think. You would think. But now we get into one of the more interesting pieces, which is that he decided, this has been a lot of fun. I'm going to write a letter to the Times-Picayune of New Orleans. So right after this attack, actually, he wrote this letter, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it's a little unhinged and funny. But he says, it starts out, "Hell, March 13th, 1919. Esteemed mortal, they have never caught me, and they never will. They have never seen me, for I am invisible. Even as the ether surrounding your earth, I am not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians and your foolish police call the Axeman. When I see fit, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know who they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe, besmeared with the blood and brains of he whom I have sent to, who I have sent below to keep me company. If you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offense at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as not to amuse me. But His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, etc. But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it be better that I were never born than to incur the wrath of the Axeman. I do not think there is a need for such a warning, for I feel the police will always dodge me, as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm. Undoubtedly, you Orleanians think of me as a most horrible murderer, which I am. But I could be much worse if I wanted to.
My gosh.
If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens, for I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death.
Oh, wow.
Now, to be exact, at 12:15 earthly time on next Tuesday night, March 19th, 1919, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. And my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I am very fond of jazz music.
Oh.
And I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, then so much the better for ye people. One thing is certain, that if that is some of your people who do not jazz it on Tuesday night, if there be any, will get the axe. Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, it is about time I left your earthly home. I will cease my discourse, hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee. I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed in fact or realm of fancy. The Axeman.
So he's a spirit who loves jazz music, and the police are all dumb and are afraid of him. And he name drops the angel of death. Like, that is quite a letter. Like,
I think someone has opinions about himself that are a little higher than I would, give him credit for.
yeah.
But yeah, so that was his letter. He wrote
Okay.
that to the
Well,
Times Tribune.
I mean, New Orleans jazz is very like a happy, upbeat, kind of funky music. So, like, I could see not wanting to kill people who are in that kind of happy, uplifting kind of space to be, But that's an interesting, if you're playing the music I like, then I won't kill you. That's quite a twist on a serial killer story.
Yeah, very interesting. And so, they published this in the newspaper, and in response, I mean, that day music flowed from homes all throughout the city. Dance halls were filled to capacity. All the bands that played like around the city were like booked at, parties all around town, and no one was killed that night. And something interesting too is that there is a jazz song that came out of this called The
Oh,
Axeman's
really?
Jazz. He got something out of this, I guess.
Got a little notoriety. That's funny.
But yeah, just so like strange. I mean, I guess I feel like every serial killer probably has something they like, right? So I guess there's probably, I don't know. It's very strange.
It's so, it, I guess, like with all serial killers to write letters, it's sort of like taunting the police, but like, you guys are too stupid to catch me. And well, in his world, he's above all of it because he's otherworldly. So he'll never be caught because he's like a spirit that cannot be caught. But that's a little different twist. But yeah, it's interesting the whole like wanting to write letters to the press to get published because you want to, I don't know, you're like that conceited. You need people like talking about you, or you need to make it clear that you're above everybody. Like, that's straight narcissism right there.
No, it's absolutely nutty. So then there's a few more murders. On August 10th of 1919, Steve Boko was attacked. He woke up and saw a dark figure looming over his bed, and he took a blow from the axe, and he survived by somehow being able to walk over to his neighbor's house.
Oh my God.
And then he lost consciousness and collapsed, which, like, good for you, bud.
So the Axeman like hit him once or a couple of times, but he was well enough to walk. I mean, that, but the Axeman must have thought he died if he left him.
Yeah, that's my thought, is like they probably, like, the Axeman just assumed he was like gone.
Although, we should say we keep calling him a serial killer. It sounds like he's like a serial like assaulter, but he's not very good at the killing part.
Yeah, there's a lot more survivors than actual deaths, surprisingly, with this case. An attempted serial killer, if we will. But so he was treated for his injuries, and survived, but is or was completely unable to remember the attack. He doesn't remember anything about it, unfortunately. Then in September of that year, a local druggist named William Carlson was had escaped the Axeman when he fired several shots off at an intruder, and who had broken into his home. And the intruder like dropped like an axe, and like they found that his door was like completely broken when he left. So that indicates that he probably was going to be like the next Axeman victim, but he somehow scared him with his shotgun.
Wow.
So good for him.
Yeah.
Cool. The next day, Sarah Lahman was attacked with an axe while she was in her locked and shuttered home. Neighbors came to check on her and they found her unconscious in bed with a severe head injury and several missing teeth.
Wow.
And then she recovered complete, or yeah, so she was like fine and recovered. She survived. And then they actually found a bloody axe on her front lawn. So again, like just using whatever he can find, I guess. He's
And
a
just leaving stuff
guy.
laying around.
I know. He's a thrifty guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if he did any of this nowadays, he would have been caught in like a minute.
I know. He would have been caught after the second one, I think. Like, they would
Yeah.
have been easily. Especially after the clothes being left behind. Like, come on, dude. So the last known attack was on October 27th of 1919. The victim was Mike Pepitone, and his wife. And so she basically like heard a noise from the other room and went to go see what was going on. And when she opened the door, she saw a large axe wielding man was fleeing the scene. And sadly, Mike like died as a result from his injuries, and like left
So
his
she
wife.
walked, so he was in the room with her husband and she heard something and walked in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was in another room and then walked in, and then like she caught the Axeman like running off.
Wow.
And you know, the usual evidence of like the bloody axe and everything was left behind, but nothing like too notable. And so there are a lot of questions, obviously, about who do we think it was and all the things. And there's not a lot of like concrete suspects, and that could just be like crappy documentation at the time. I'm not really sure. But some people believe that there could be like multiple Axemen, or it was like related to like a mob killing. So like specifically, I guess Mike Pepitone, so the last known victim, did apparently have ties with the mob of some sort. So people thought maybe that was what motivated his killing.
Did
And
other
then,
people have ties to the mom?
not that I could see specifically, but Louis Bessemer was charged with the attack, as I mentioned, because his wife suspected him.
Yeah.
And he was actually thought to be part of a German spy ring.
Oh.
So we know that at least he was, you know, doing something. But I also like, I don't know. Even if he was a spy, I still don't think that would give you the fortitude to hit yourself in the head with an axe. That's just me. So I don't know. Very interesting. Some people, because of the letter and just like the boogeyman like effect he has, do think that maybe he was just like a boogeyman. Like no one really knows. He just could be a supernatural being.
Well, I mean, he definitely wants you to believe that.
Yes, he does.
You know, him and his friend, the Angel of Death, who clearly doesn't come to his parties very often because most of his people survive.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, my goodness. But the only like kind of concrete sort of idea or suspect that has come out is actually also related to the last killing. So Esther Pepitone, after her husband died, she actually moved to LA and remarried a man, or got remarried to a man named Angelo Albano. And at some point, Angelo disappeared. And when they were, you know, bringing the police around to question her, she remembered that he had done business with a man named Joseph Mumphrey. And so when she gave the police his name, obviously he was, I don't know, interrogated by the police or whatever. And so he actually came to her home and threatened to kill her like he killed her husband. And she was like, fuck you, and shot him to death.
Oh
Like,
my
tied
gosh.
her on her porch. She was like, I ain't doing this.
Wow.
But you know what? I get it. I don't know. And she actually after she shot him and like saw him again, she was like, you know, he actually looks a lot like the guy I saw fleeing my home. So she like full on claimed that Joseph Mumfre was the Axeman, at least in her original husband's death.
Yeah.
And the LAPD were able to link a few like small things to him. Like they found that he led a blackmailing ring in New Orleans that primarily targeted Italians. And they found that his time, because he had been in and out of prison like his whole life, and they found that like his time out of prison coincided with the Axeman killings.
I always think that's a good way to rule people in or out. Like, you know, because if you know they were in prison during that time, you can quickly rule them out. But yeah, if it coincided with the timing of when these things happen, that could be pretty telling.
Yeah, exactly. And then also because the only thing that like they're not sure about is like Esther originally when she gave her testimony after the Axeman killing said that she saw two men. So if Mumfre was there, who was the other man? I guess was their question. But yeah, that's kind of like I said, I don't know if it's like lack of evidence because it's like an older case or what, but that is the Axeman and it has never been solved.
I do wonder if they kept any of that old evidence or like if it could be tested now. I mean, I guess we wouldn't have much to compare it to, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we would have, like, yeah, we could. I wonder if we could get DNA profiles, but like, especially with something like an axe, sounds very bloody. So it's probably not necessarily his blood that would be on the
Yeah,
stuff.
but like if they had his clothes, I wonder if they would be able to pull any DNA off of that. But they wouldn't have his sample to compare it to. But maybe they could do some genealogy stuff. That'd be cool. I wonder if they have any of that or if it's possible. I mean, but I guess it probably wouldn't have been stored or preserved in a way that was likely to maintain the evidence.
No, totally. And then you think about it too, because you're like, well, like this guy was just like leaving things around. Like at the time, they did have fingerprinting, apparently. Like that was technology that existed, but it wasn't standard practice. And like, what if you just fingerprinted all the weapons that he left behind? Like
Yeah.
there would probably be something. But yeah, there was
Yeah,
nothing.
just nothing to compare it to. That's the hard part.
Yeah, it just is old-timey crime scene technology, I guess.
His letter really toots his own horn. Somebody should let him know he's like the least successful serial killer ever because most of his people survived.
I know, like, dude, you're the angel of death or whatever. Come on, get
No,
out.
he's friends with the Angel of Death, Alana.
That's
He
what it was.
trusts them.
His
You know,
friend.
they hang out at the white party together, like, you know, listen to their jazz music.
You know, that letter is just so unhinged when you read it. You're like, what is happening?
It's funny he wants people to believe like he's this spirit or otherworldly or whatever, you know, because it's like. I mean, to me, you seem like a fumbling buffoon. You know, I don't know. You're just leaving shit everywhere, and most of the people don't die. And like, you don't seem very good at being a serial killer. You should take up something else. Maybe crocheting. That might be a good thing.
Maybe he should take up jazz. He likes it so much.
Yeah, that's true. You could take up jazz. Like, yeah, play a trumpet. That'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know. That man needs help.
Yeah. If he likes to hit things, you know, he could play the drums.
Absolutely. He could be like a bouncer at a jazz club. You know, he
Yeah, I
likes
think he
things.
needs a better hobby because this one's not working out well for him.
Not at all.
When did his letters say something about like he's selective about the people that will be his like companions in hell or something? Did he say
Yeah,
something like that?
because in Crazy Brain, he says that the people he kills will join him in hell, I guess.
Yeah, so those are gonna be like his friends in hell, or they're gonna like listen to music together.
No, he
Like,
said they're
I
gonna
don't.
be his slaves in the afterlife.
Yeah, that's quite something.
Yeah. Well, and then his satanic majesty.
Yeah.
Who is his satanic majesty? What?
Yeah, I think he has some delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, that's my story.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is sad though that so many people were attacked. I just can't imagine like being in my warm, cozy bed and waking up to somebody standing over me with an axe. Like, that must be terrifying. Even if you do survive it, you'll never be the same, I'm sure.
Oh no, I mean, Like I couldn't do it. I'm like, man, do I have to have an axe next to my bed now? Like, just be like, kachah.
Yeah.
Don't know. Very,
But
very.
see, since you use people's own tools, you would be like, I'm just not gonna own any knives or guns or axes or any farming equipment at all. Like, I'm just
I
gonna, my
know.
farm's gonna be full of cotton balls
Yeah.
and
Gosh.
fluffy blankets.
Yeah, just have like the anti-weapon, like
Yeah.
whatever that is. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, all of the furniture will be cushiony and like not hardwood. Yeah, I would just like fill my house with stuff that you could not use to harm anybody.
Yeah. No, it's definitely hard, but I don't know. I mean, I guess back then though, you had to like have your own like tools and stuff. Right,
Yeah.
like nowadays we like pay people to like I don't know chop up firewood, but back in the day it was like, well, you know, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Strange times. Anyway, thanks for listening, friends. If you like this episode, you can go ahead and like subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. We have an Instagram account where you can, you know, follow us and like see kind of what we're up to. We also have a Gmail account where you could, you know, email us, reach out to us, you know, with story ideas or your own personal true crime or paranormal stories, anything like that, which is whattheelpod@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon account you can subscribe to and just has like all sorts of fun bonus content. But outside of that, I guess I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
Appreciate you too, babe.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye.